Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
A big drop in China.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. That whooshing sound you hear is the air going out of the stock market in China. Shanghai's benchmark index plunged almost 9% today. That's the biggest drop in more than 10 years. The reason? Investors decided this was a good time to sell off their stocks and lock in profits following recent gains. Perhaps it was Alan Greenspan's comments about a recession. Whatever the reason, investors had a case of the blahs yesterday. The Dow fell 15 points to 12,632. The Nasdaq gave up 10 points to 2504. The S&P was flat. It was down just a point to 1449. And in Tokyo today, the Nikkei dropped 95 points. Walmart is reportedly paying $1 billion to take over a Chinese discount chain. This is all part of the pushing and shoving as international companies try to get in on the action in China's fast-growing retail market. The takeover of the company Bounteous will take place in phases by the year 2010. Remember deregulation? It was supposed to make electricity cheaper for consumers and businesses. Well, so far, just the opposite has happened. At least that's the thinking of consumer groups meeting in Washington. Eric Kneeler has a story.
California, Texas, and other states that deregulated now pay much more than states that kept electric utilities under government control. They also have shortages and reliability troubles. That's according to consumer advocate Marilyn Showalter. She's with the group Power in the Public Interest.
For one thing, in a competitive market, you need willing buyers and willing sellers. Well, in the case of electricity, you have neither. People have to buy electricity. And same for the sellers. Sellers cannot turn off and on their big plants.
Some states are considering a return to regulation of the power industry. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission holds its own conference on deregulation today. In Washington, I'm Eric Kneeler for Marketplace.
Your cell phone could soon become a useful tool for shopping. Mobile phone companies are meeting in London today to talk about turning the handset into a barcode reader. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The evolution of the cell phone is gathering pace. The latest idea will turn it into a kind of electronic sales assistant. Point your camera phone at a special barcode printed on an ad or on packaging, press a button, and instantly download more information about the product. Or the phone will deliver coupons or other marketing offers. The idea isn't new. In fact, barcode reading phones are common in Japan and South Korea. But they're virtually unheard of in the West, largely because of the lack of a common technology. Today's meeting will attempt to deal with that problem. The leading cell phone companies, along with Hewlett-Packard and the marketing giant Publicis, will try to forge a common standard so any phone will read any barcode. They expect to reach agreement and to have the system up and running in the US and Europe within a year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Government Accountability Office released a report yesterday. It called for the Air Force to reopen the competition for a $15 billion helicopter contract awarded to Boeing. The decision by the Air Force had been protested by Lockheed Martin and Sikorsky Aircraft, two of the companies bidding for the deal. Apparently, Boeing's helicopter was bigger and noisier than its two competitors. However, the GAO's decision is non-binding.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by Reuters, delivering news and information that reaches over a billion people every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
Winter storms in the Midwest and Northeast this week have created headaches for a number of airlines like JetBlue and Delta. Together, both airlines have canceled over 200 flights. Newark Airport and O'Hare in Chicago have also had to scratch flights due to the weather. It makes you wonder how or why some people travel for business. You can make a list of the frustrations: canceled or delayed flights, bad food, exhaustion, and jet lag. But commentator Lucy Kellaway thinks she's come up with a better way to fly.
Why does the average executive spend 35 days a year travelling? Partly it's a matter of status. It makes a person feel important to say, I'm in Tokyo on Friday and then in Bangalore next week. I suppose it's also nice being handed a glass of champagne, and even nicer getting air miles. Yet I suspect there's a bigger reason that people don't usually talk about. Business travel is an escape from home, but more important, it is an escape from the office. Office life has become a dysfunctional mess of meetings and interruptions, so a high-flying executive's best hope for a decent day's work is in a metal chamber 30,000 feet above the world's surface. This thought gives me an idea for a great new business. It's to start a virtual airline. Here's how it would work. The passenger would book into a flight of whatever length they liked. They would then turn up at a convenient, comfortable location in the city where they live. There would be no traffic jams to the airport, no check-ins. They would be strapped into their chair, treated nicely, and given a glass of champagne. Then they would put down their table and work. They would only be allowed out of their seats to go to the toilet. They would have their cell phones taken away when they boarded. They could video conference if they needed to talk to a colleague. The saving in costs would be prodigious. There would be no expensive ticket to cover jet fuel, no jet lag, no flight delays, and no chance of being blown up mid-air. And the traveller, if they wanted to, could still pretend they'd really been to, say, Tokyo. I suspect were this service really to take off, to pick a singularly inappropriate metaphor, it would become the only way to fly.
Lucy Kellaway is management columnist for the Financial Times. Finally, there are burgers, and then there's the one you could buy at Denny's Beer Barrel Pub in Pennsylvania. The Beer Barrel Main Event Charity Burger weighs in at 123 pounds. It features an 80-pound beef patty, 160 slices of cheese. The price, just $379. This is all an attempt to get in the Guinness Book of World Records. That or a local hospital. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.